know if people still say this, but today's episode rocks my socks. Man, I am so excited for you to hear everything that transpires on this episode. The topic is love. How do you know you're in love? How do you know you're out of love? Why do people that we love hurt us? And when's the first time that you felt love ever? And how that really paved the way for the rest of your relationships and how you comprehend love and relationships. So my guest is a human design expert. His name is Sage Scott, and he is not only an articulate human being and a seeker and a deep thinker, but he's a dear friend. I met him at a time in my life when I was living out of my suitcase and traveling within the US, and I had a ton of questions, and man, he had a ton of answers. So get ready. I am so excited to share this and share him with you. Welcome back to How I Got Through It.
Thanks as well. I'm glad to be here, honestly. I'm already like brimming with excitement because this is like, we really get into it and really get into the nitty gritty. So yeah, when you're ready, I am so here for it.
Well, let's get into it. So the topic today and the series is the deconstruction of your life. And this happened for me when I decided to pack all of my stuff and get on a plane and go to Barbados for what I thought was going to be 3 weeks. I just wanted to be in a place, in the place that felt like home to me. And that is what happened. I got on a plane and I landed there and I thought, okay, great. 3 weeks is a good reset, is a good recharge. And then I ended up spending 4 months there, which was just blows my mind that I spent that long. But I think that experience for me really, I don't want to say grew me, because Barbados has raised me before. I was born there. I was raised there. But it spiritually raised me. It made me more aware of my own self. It gave me a structure that I never had before. And it made me think of the existing structures in my life. So specifically today, we're going to talk about love. But this conversation in my head with myself started, you know, 6 months ago. What is love? When was the first time I felt love? Where was the first time I felt love? Where in my body did I feel it? Did I see it or did I feel it? What have I seen in my life about love through my parents' marriage, through my first relationship, through my first heartbreak? Do I feel love amongst my friends? You know, all of these things started coming up there for me in Barbados. And then I realized everything I knew about love came from the outside of me. It came from watching my parents' marriage just kind of fall apart. It came from me constantly wanting my first boyfriend and him constantly being 1 foot in, 1 foot out, you know, like that in a way formed love for me. Watching all these romantic movies, just these rom-coms, you know, formed a version of love for me, maybe a version of love for me that wasn't existing, that didn't exist in my own life. And then just talking with people about marriage, I'm always fascinated when I hear someone's been married for 50 years or 60 years and how they get through that period of their life and enjoy that period of their life and even find that period of their life. And so I started to deconstruct what I know, and it came down to just the very core basics. I remember as a child feeling love for the first time, and my mom hugging me, and I felt it like inside my chest. And that was the first time I felt love, like just, you know, I didn't see it, I felt it. And then I realized that experience for me really paved the way for other experiences that I had. I'm a deeply feeling person, so it makes sense that I would feel love versus seeing it, you know? So let's start there. Can you share the first time you felt love or saw love or knew that love was happening in your life?
Mm. Yeah, that's a that's a deep question in and of itself. I would definitely say that my ability to recall, I guess, the depth of love, and especially, I guess, through the lens of affection, because one of the things that my mom was like really into is just like hugging. She's very tactile. So I remember just getting a lot of like just hugs and, you know, hugs and kisses and, you know, like just fluffing up and all of that other stuff. And so that is something that I know would have carried through from pretty much infancy right up into, you know, kind of teenage years.
So I guess maybe you're thinking that love is correlated to touch or affection.
Yeah.
Or okay. And then so that, I guess that's important for me too. And it also makes me think about, what about children that grow up without that, right? Like mm-hmm. their love lens is completely different and not associated with touch or affection.
So I have to ask, from everything that you've experienced, what is love to you and what isn't love?
I would say, and this is something that we had kind of discussed beforehand, is that one of the areas that I think love isn't, but is something that I took on for, I guess, my own internal perceptions on things, is love is like projective, or love is pressurized. Love is something that you always need to have on. And there was something that used to make me feel very uncomfortable, now that I think about it now, of something that my mother would always say, where she would describe my grandmother as being this very giving person, right? And she would always be in this state of giving, 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 to the point where like she didn't really have much for herself, but her love language was, in her estimation, to always be in a state of giving. And there was something about that that just did not resonate with me, because it would then create this pressure, like you always have to be in a state of giving, no matter what. You could be in the worst state ever emotionally, financially, mentally, but you always must be in this state of giving. And when I look at the trajectory of my grandmother up until her passing, is that her, and this is something that I recognize that I do a lot, that I used to kind of judge myself for, but I recognize it's just something that's just a part of me, and it's not something that I can just turn off, which mm-hmm. is, I am always, and it mirrors what you say a lot, which is, do your insides match your outsides?
Yeah.
So I watched my grandmother deteriorate through Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia, and all of that. And one of the things that I guess continually used to come to the surface is that you're not taking care. Like I would say to myself internally, and I remember, I think, kind of bringing these things up to my grandmother, like as a child, which is very interesting, because I think what sparked my desire to like understand people, but even on a deeper level, understanding energy and how energy moves and the presence of energy, is that my grandmother taught me about like Reiki to a degree, Reiki and energy healing and all of that. And she was always in a state of giving to somebody else, but she never really used to receive. And
yeah.
So when I observed her, and I would say to myself, but how does love only work in this one way? Like, how are you always in a state of giving, but you're never willing to receive it, or at least give yourself the opportunity to be in the presence of somebody, and as we've been discussing a lot, that loves themselves deeply enough that it inspires you to have a deeper sense of self-love. Because you're not technically, nobody's technically giving it to you per se, and you're not technically receiving, you're more in a state of observation, you're in the aura of that individual. And so what I would say is, love is not unconditional. I really am thinking about the depth of how we are able to connect with ourselves first and foremost, that then gives us the opportunity to go through the different waves of how something shows up in our life, because I don't think that we need to be forcing ourselves to be in a state of love and light when we are at our darkest periods. And I can honestly say that is something that I used to see a lot with my mother, and I would see with my grandmother. They would always be putting themselves out.
Selflessly.
Yeah, selflessly, right? And never, and I put in quotations, never expecting something in return. But what I really recognize that they wanted in return is just recognition. Something to be acknowledged along the way that here it is, I am pouring myself out, and I low-key want you to see that I am doing all of these things, right? And it doesn't always turn up that way. And that is something that, as I recognize listening to the conversations that my mother would have, just about people, family members, same thing with my father, his thought process on things. And there's this deep, deep, deep need for satisfaction and recognition and ultimately love that they were looking for. But the ways in which they were going about it were what they knew. That's the only way that I can see it, because until you know better, you are still going to find yourself in the same sort of loop. So when it comes back to like love for me, love is really first and foremost being on the journey to figuring out how you are supposed to be loving yourself. What are the correct ways in which to love yourself? And this goes beyond, you know, taking yourself out on a dinner date. I mean, that can be a part of it. But these deeper aspects of ourselves, how does our body want to be cared for? How does our body want to be touched? Which is something that I have been in conversation with a couple of my friends, especially some of my male friends, around our starvation for touch and how we sometimes can view touch always through the lens of sexuality and not, and sorry, well, let me be more specific within that, that touch always leads to sex, as opposed to recognizing that touch is also just another form of bonding and intimacy. Love to me definitely shows up in a tactile fashion. That is something that means something deeply to me, because it goes beyond the level of words. Like, even though I love to be intellectually stimulated, right? That is one of my love languages. I think beneath that, touch is how I express my love. And if I am unable to be in physical contact with those that I love or those that I feel like I want to express my love towards, sometimes that can be challenging for me, because it's like, this is the way in which I know how to show you love, right? And I want to express this, but I also have to respect, well, you may not be in the frame of mind, the energetic resonance to want to receive my touch, and that's okay. And at some other point in time, it will probably come into alignment that we are able to engage in that way. So yeah, those are kind of my two spaces around what does love show up as. It's a very tactile thing. And then when it comes to what is not love, is this overpouring of oneself to the point where you are a dry well, expecting somebody else to come and fill you up, when in reality, you are the only thing that can fill yourself up.
Yeah. I like that, because growing up in the Caribbean on an island, you see a lot of women selflessly giving of themselves, doing that Sunday lunch that they do for their family. You know, they are working tirelessly for their family, and it is a very selfless act of what could be perceived as love. And while I observe that, that is like my biggest nightmare, because I am not built in that way. That is not selfless. That is not love. That is draining to me when I think of it. Love, selfless love. And I don't even know if that should be a thing that's talked about anymore, because why would you want love without self? Less of self? That makes no sense, right? I think that just feeling love from my mom, feeling love within myself, and when I say that, I mean, using my intuition, using my feelings as a compass, that is when I feel loved. And I think I also feel love when I am present for other people, and I am present and there. So like if a friend is going through a thing, I am the person and I am the friend, and I think it's important to show up for your friends, but I'm the person that I don't care if we're talking about what is happening or not. Like I will walk with you and we could hold hands or we could just walk, you know, I just want to be there for you. That is important in friendship and love. And I think being in Barbados, it really redefined love for me, and in a way that changed everything that I think about love. I need to give credit to Glennon Doyle, who's an author, fantastic author, has an amazing podcast as well. She always talks about having your insides match your outsides. That is what I got from Barbados, and that is the only way I know to conduct love in my life, in every area of my life, right? Like, if my insides have a different ecosystem, if I feel burdened or I feel this negative energy inside, but I'm like, oh, everything's fine, posting fantastic pictures on Instagram and like, you know, doing all these things, that is not, there's no bridge there. I think that maybe love is the bridge, I suppose. That bridge is the way I love myself, when my insides match my outsides, even if I'm doing the wrong thing. We touched on this a bit, and I think that this is very important.
There's a beautiful story that I know of that really helps me to understand the nature of human beings and helps also to answer the question why people that we love hurt us sometimes and why that ends up being the situation and the outcome. So the story goes, there is a bird in the forest, and the nature of the bird is to bring peace and harmony and keep the harmony in the forest. If she sees anyone in pain, she frees them from their pain and leaves them better than she met them. And one day she's flying through the forest and she sees a lion, and the lion is caught on a vine, and the vine is wrapped so tightly around the lion's leg that the lion is crying and wailing in the forest in complete pain. She sees this as she's flying and she realizes she could free the lion from that vine. But if she does, there's a good chance that the lion will eat her. And she thinks about that, and she assesses that, and ultimately she acts according to her own nature, which is to bring peace, to bring happiness, to free anyone from pain that she sees in pain. So she goes over and she frees the lion from this vine. As soon as she frees the lion from the vine, he eats her and she dies, because it is in the nature of the lion to hunt. It has no other choice. That is what the lion is here for. That is what the lion is in the forest for. And it is acting according to what it came on earth to do. That story, while it is hard to digest for me, helps me to understand that sometimes situations end up the way they were always going to end up. Sometimes when you are confused and you don't understand why certain things are happening, people are acting according to their nature.
I think about things a lot like that, because when you put maybe two people together, parent or child, or two romantic partners, and something happens, one person gets hurt.
Yeah.
I often wonder, is it in the nature of this person to do this? Were they really acting according to their nature, or were they just kind of being an asshole? Like, you know, I don't know. And either way, it doesn't change the hurt that I am feeling or the hurt that someone else might be feeling. But it is a really good way to kind of look at it. I don't want to find an alternative way to look at something just to give them an excuse of why they did a thing, but it is a very good point of why sometimes when you put two chemicals together, there's an explosion because of the chemical makeup of those two liquids. Maybe that's why it's an explosion, or it was always going to be an explosion. It doesn't matter the timing of when you mix those two liquids together. It was always going to be an explosion because of the chemical makeup. And I think that's how I think of nature and people, and maybe why some things happen, and maybe why sometimes we have to go through certain scenarios, and how that teaches us about love and our own self.
Yeah.
Because I think ultimately having this discussion with you is our love story is with us. It's our lifetime. People may come in and out of it, our parents, romantic partners, friends. And now I'm starting to see all these different parts that play, that come in and out of my life at certain times. And I'm starting to think that maybe the one thread, the one love story is just my own. My own reaction to everything, my own experience with everyone. Like internally, how am I comprehending and experiencing this thing? I'm going to stop there.
No, but just everything that you said, it was very, yeah, very well put together, very succinct. And I really like the analogy that you gave with regards to like the chemicals, because if you think about it, like humans are just complex chemical soups, constantly permeating in and around, you know, really just engaging with everything around us. And I definitely would say like these are the sort of conversations that kind of come into play of, do we really have free will? Because is this really to say like we were always going to get here anyway? We were always going to go through that heartbreak. We were always going to fall in love with this person. And what I find that I've said to like friends in the past is like, there'll be a point in time, and this actually is something that I've experienced with you, which is I will reflect on a person in my life and I'll be like, I actually can't imagine them not being in my life. Because it's as if this was already preordained. Like I knew, not to say I knew it was going to be you, Anna, but from the time that we connected, we started talking, and now to reach this point, to almost try to backtrack and imagine like us not having this conversation, it's unfathomable to me. Like I'm like, I wouldn't actually see it any other way. So I do feel like there's a certain level of predestiny, but what I've really been kind of dabbling with in this sense of being able to deepen our love for ourselves, which I really, to go deeper than when we use the term love, it is really a greater sense of self-awareness, because the awareness faculty gives us the ability to then ask ourselves in a moment where, you know, we have these millions upon probably even billions of these micro adjustments through our reality. We're going to where we're going. We're going to get to where we're getting to. But I've been really, really, really thinking about the quality of the experience, the quality of the ride as we are going to where we are going. And so really looking at when I am in this moment where this could turn into a moment of reaction and I could just jump into another part of my nature, which is to maybe blast this individual because they're rubbing me the wrong way or whatever. Or do I take a point of pause and to go into more of a reflective and responsive way of engaging with them? So I could still say what I need to say that I meant to say to them, but it could have a different flavor connected to it. And so that is really what I've been wading through, because when I do think about the nature, it's like you can't get away from these things. And as you know, we've been having these discussions, like through the lens, when I look at stuff through human design, it's like you were meant to operate in this way. Like I knew that this ultimately was going to come to the surface one way or the other. And we had touched briefly as well on, even within that nature, is that wouldn't it be interesting if when persons are operating in that deep sense of self-awareness, which then exudes itself as self-love from the very beginning, when you're entering into this connection with this other individual. And I've been kind of thinking about, does this almost dissolve? And again, this is imaginary because I don't know until I actually experience it, but does this dissolve that whole space around the honeymoon phase before you have to get into the work of something. Because if you already know who you are from the very, pretty much from the very inception of this connection with this other person, and they are pretty aware of themselves too, you're able to say, hey, this is how I show up. These are the things that I tend to have challenges with. Sometimes I say things in this particular way, da 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 da, and it's not something that I can really change. This is kind of just locked in. And hey, how is it a case that we could work through this so that we have a mutual understanding and mutual communication to move us through this experience?
And I think, you know, communication actually is love, right? Because communication is the bridge that even if you are acting according to your nature and very authentically to yourself, sometimes you can't change that, right? Like you can't change all the different characteristics in your personality, but you can say, listen, I am very insensitive when it comes to remembering birthdays, Valentine's days, blah, blah, blah. And you can communicate that. You're not saying you're going to change it. You're just saying, like, this is a part of me. That's a part of me. Like I've heard somebody say, like, you know, when you find the person that you love or you think that you love them, obviously there are going to be some flaws and you just need to decide, is this a part, is this shitty part of them still worth the investment and the love that you want to give them? They call it a shit sandwich. Like this part of the sandwich is shitty. Like, can you still eat the sandwich? You know, like, and so I think that communication in itself is love and is the bridge. And you talk about free will, and I want to go back to that a little bit because free will is the thing that I think helps you get through these experiences. Like free will is the thing that says, I will communicate with this person because I do love them, right? I will not ghost them because they said something triggering to me. I will respond and I will say, what you said about my height is triggering. I am very sensitive about my height. this is an example. I am very sensitive about my height and I don't like when you jab or make jokes or whatever. Can you please not maybe do that because I love you and I don't want to have that part in this relationship. And I think that's where free will comes into play, right? And I think that's how I started looking at life, right? Like I just started saying, is this love or is this not? What do I feel? Like just now when you said, when we met, you knew like maybe this is predestined or now you can't imagine, right? Like not knowing me or not having these conversations. I felt love from you. And I smiled to myself because I was like, oh, this feels like love. And that's how I kind of go through my experiences as well. And according to how I feel, then I take action. Then I use my free will. I used my free will just now when you said those things. And I registered. I told my brain, this is love. I feel it. I felt it first. And I said to my brain, remember this. This is what love feels like. Know what you feel.
And if I can just add to that, I definitely, just how you framed that so well that my mind was going through these like little mini mutations. It was like, oh, that is like, I'm always thinking about, oh, what is the bridge here? Like, what is the connection to some of the stuff that I've already become aware of? And so one of the things that came to mind is that, you know, I also kind of can see that free will is almost being like a mouthpiece or just like that personality aspect of ourselves that is more consciously accessible, but recognizing that that free will part of us should always be in service to that divine nature within us. Because ultimately, our free will and our, even if you just think about our immediate perspective on things, can only take you so far.
Yeah.
And then that deep auric connection. And this is why, like, I love how everything continues to just mirror itself. We're constantly receiving lessons in a bunch of different ways, you know. If you look at, even within the body, we have something which is known as like the fascial network, which is essentially something that runs through every part of our being, because this is essentially what we came from. We came from fascia, which is essentially just this, it's this kind of gummy, sticky, elastic essence to us that helps to almost relay different messages to different parts of the body. But what is so amazing about it is that it permeates so deeply into every part of us. So fascia just doesn't sit like, oh, just under the skin. Fascia runs in and through the bone. So it's always, it doesn't matter what it is engaged with, it always has this core connection to everything. Same thing with regards to like mushrooms, for example. If you look at the mushroom mycelial network that runs underneath, it's constantly conveying and relaying messages from one point to the next, to the next, to the next. And so when I think about like even our aspect of why it is so important to really get connected to yourself, to understand your nature, to become aware of that so that you can exude the surface aspect of what we call love, is really about how do we move through this, if you want to say, fascial network, and how are we conveying our being out into the world? Like something as simple as, I'll ask myself the question, who thought of who first? And what that will show up as is like, somebody will flash in my mind, and then like maybe 10 minutes later, I get a text from them. And I think about, did they think about me first? And then I'm thinking about them to give them confirmation on this auric level that we are like communicating. And then it's like, oh, we now appear and we are now engaging with each other from this standpoint. So yeah, it's beautiful, honestly.
There's a good quote by Eckhart Tolle. It says that, he says that when your personality comes to serve the seat of your soul, that is when you are perfectly aligned. And I think that if there's a secret to life, that might be it. You know, like using your free will and your personality to serve whatever is your nature. He says soul, and sometimes soul is such a big, like, you know, where do you start with understanding or knowing your soul, right? Like, but when I think of nature, I go, Anna, what do you feel about this thing? And, you know, sometimes things and life in itself is very confusing. Like, I don't know where to go. Is it left? Do I go right? I don't know. But Martha Beck, who has a great book called The Weight of Integrity, she talks about what feels warm and what feels cold in your body. So sometimes when I just don't know, like you talked about, you know, you hear from somebody texting. Sometimes I even run that through my body and I'm like, should I text this person? And I go, Anna, should I text this person? And I close my eyes and I say, what does texting them feel like? And then I go to like, I think that my knowing resides somewhere in my gut, right? Like that's what I feel. And so I go to that place. My brain goes to that place in my body and I wait to see what the sensation is. Does it feel warm? Does it feel cold? And if it feels warm, I go with that and I text that person. And so that's how I really, on a very realistic and physical level, tap into acting according to my nature. As we're talking about love, and maybe as you're thinking about love for yourself or what love means, when things like that come up and it maybe is triggering, or you just anything that you feel in the realm of love, I would start with, who built this thought for me? Was it me? Was it someone else? Did someone hurt me and now this is still here in my body and I'm having this reaction to a text because of this reason? Who built this? I'm seriously looking at all the things in my life, like God, like love, like career, and the ideas that I have around that. Like I think of it as my body is a house, and in this house there's many different rooms, and one room is love. One room is God. One room is career. You know, one room is my purpose and my passion, which is this podcast is birthed out of that. So who built these thoughts that live in the room or these ideas that are in the room that have decorated the room so beautifully? Who built those for me? Was it me or was it my parents? Was it me or was it my first boyfriend? Was it me or was it, you know, rom-coms? For love, for example. And I think that's a really good place to start when you start think about the deconstructing of these existing structures, right? I think COVID kind of made everyone just pause. And I think it's a good pause to kind of also look at your life, use introspection to see where did you get these ideas? Why are you acting this way? What, does this way feel warm or does it feel cold? Does it feel good? Does it feel bad to you? Does this person feel good or does this person feel bad to you? When you leave an experience, a massage, anything, a dinner, how do you feel leaving? You know, like really actively participate in your life. I think that is a form of love. It's like kind of strange that we walk around with this person that we are every single day and we don't even know the half of it. You know, we're going through the motion.
I know, right? That's wild.
It's so
it's
wild.
Like a wild experience.
And then you want someone to partner up with you and you're like, I'm acting in all these crazy ways and I don't even have an idea why.
Sage and I are going to be back next week for part two of this episode. We're going to dig into what good love feels like and what bad love feels like. This episode was recorded in Barbados in 2021. See you guys next week.